So when you start, we add all those things together, that's where that decrease is. But there may be some more free and reduced option.
How many special needs kids do we have at homeschool? I mean, do we still have to spend special need dollars even though they're at home?
No. When they are homeschooled, we have no responsibility at all for them.
So how much are we saving by having, how many homeschools?
I don't know. We'd have to look at that closer. But that's an explanation. Homeschool is another pocket of money there that's going to be hard to recover. Although that's, you know, they're, like, to your point recently about, you know, some hold harmless legislation to try to help the towns, because this is happening all over New Hampshire, that they're losing revenue like that. So we'll see if anything comes of that.
I have a question. If we use the Gulf Grant card, the $870,000 to pay down, what we're effectively doing to try to mitigate the strain of the interest in saving $70,000 a year, as Jeff has said, does that mean we save $70,000 in the budget we're building also?
That would be correct.
So we have that to think about how to deploy.
So I think we need to do a little more research on that, to Jeff's point, to see what the options are, and look into that,
right,
and see how it works.
So that before cold water all over the town. In fact, as we have the minutes from November 6th, we will find the ministry of the year long.
That's in the spot.
Right.
I just wanted to report on how
contact tracing and works with each nurse in each building to do that. You know, and that's what resulted in how we got to where we are with the high school being fully remote this week. And it looks like we're on course to reopen on Thursday. But I think that's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. We have, you know, we do all of our teaching now with teachers. So even when they're home, they're teaching from home remotely. So the reverse. It's pretty interesting to watch, to go into, I was in a bathroom here at the high school, and there was a teacher who was being quarantined. She was teaching math from home. She was writing out the formulas on some device, and it was showing up on the smart board in the classroom. And with half of her students, and then the other half were in their homes doing the same thing. And so it's pretty impressive. This district has made great investments in technology over the years, and it's really paying dividends now. You know, I hear stories from other superintendents, like, you know, the internet is not robust enough where, you know, they can't run enough devices at one time to be able to do the things that we're doing, but we are. So it's going well, and we're pleased with that. And I also want to give a shout out to our school nurses. They are just absolutely tremendous. That they're really, you know, they're the contact people in each building. They're the ones who are initiating contact tracing, because Department of Health and Human Services can only do so much. And you watch the news, you know, you have 500 or 600 cases in one day. There's just not enough man hours out there to do that. So our people are doing that. So they're keeping your students safe, your staff safe, and they're answering questions. The protocols from Department of Health and Human Services, they seem to change weekly. Ann and I sometimes are scratching our heads saying, wait a minute, what happened? What did they do now? What did we miss? It's like that. It comes at you so fast. But the nurses, they're worth their weight in gold right now. And without them, I don't know where we would be. So if you see one of your nurses, thank them for that. A couple of things we're working on is we're starting to prepare the school calendar for next year. Started off with the CPE Center in Laconia, because we're going to make sure we're aligned with them. We've got their draft calendar, working with our administrative team and working with the teachers on that. So we'll have that soon. Maybe if all things go well, we'll have it for our next meeting for approval. It looks very similar. It's not much. That'll change for this year next year. And then the other thing that's consuming a lot of our time is the work with the budget committee and preparing all, you know, they have a lot of questions and things that we'll be bringing back to them next Tuesday as their next meeting. So that's what's going on there. And then the ventilation project is going great. We were in there last Friday for a meeting, and so all the ceiling grids are being installed, and you know, the building is coming back to us, you know, and it won't be long before. So each room is going to be cleaned, and the floors waxed, and all that. We've had our maintenance staff in there all along keeping up. Construction is dirty, as you know. When you do stuff at your own home, there's sawdust everywhere and all that, but that's the same thing there. So they're doing great. So now it's Jason Torsey, who's here tonight, is working hard with his crew to figure out a schedule of getting that cleaning done, getting all the furniture in. So our goal is to be back in the building the week of January 4th. There's a lot of work to do ahead of that, really, from our staff. I mean, the whole gymnasium is filled with furniture. There isn't one piece of furniture in those classrooms. You can imagine the amount of work, but it's going to happen, and we're pleased to see that. And I think everybody is really excited for those students and teachers, remembering that they've not been in their school since March. That's a long time to be at home, and you know, I think that they look forward to that.
Anybody else have any announcements or recognition?
I do.
Okay.
I will double check.
In warrant articles, the deadline for people to submit petition warrant articles, that's the 12th, unless it involves a bond, and then it's the 8th of June.
Right. Yes, we have all those dates that we've given to the budget committee. Yep, so are there new business?
I know you said thank you to the nurses, but I just wanted to say thank you to all of the staff. I mean, from you guys working extra, doing everything, to the nurses, to the teachers, because I know you guys are all contact tracing. Poor Jason is running, trying to keep the facilities committee. I mean, I get those emails, like, here's what's going on with that. To Paul, who luckily got all those new reports for us. I mean, he's been instrumental in all of the ability to be able to make everything work. And I just want to say thank you, because I mean, it means the world to parents, because the kids are going to school, they can still work. And the kids are being super flexible, as seen by notes and form students. So I just want to say thank you to all of you guys as well. So I personally appreciate it, so thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so electrical panels, I know Jason is our electrician here, too?
Jeff Goodrum.
So tonight we're asking the board to approve this money will be coming out of your expendable trust fund, $34,830. See the photos in the board report. I mean, there are just some obsolete panels there that aren't safe, that they can't get parts for. That we're suggesting as part of this project be replaced. And if Jason, Jeff, want to speak to that at all, or something you can kind of do?
Yeah, so as you can see in some of those pictures, a lot of those panels are original structure of the building, which is mid to late 1930s. A lot of those, during the process of the demolition, where some of the electricians working in there realized that some of the breakers they just don't break, which is a major safety issue. So we felt we were to do something about it. In addition to that, we're replacing those original units. Over the years, some of the upgrades in the building that's seen, building 6, maybe 7,
Yeah, Jeff, I wasn't so much interested in, I do want to know when it was last checked, or what is the process for checking on it so that it doesn't become a safety issue like it is now, where it doesn't work the way it's supposed to?
Sure.
Is there any mechanism? Do we have a process for that?
Sure. Honestly, every breaker and every panel should be turned off and on cycle 3 times a year, every year, every break. It's called here, and like the main switch, you know, like in this facility, you have a switchboard back there. Every year, they should be shut off, vacuum cleaned out, wiped down, and turned back on. And they exercise all the breakers. It's literally called exercising the breakers. Mm-hmm. It gives us a magnetic thermal, like a coil almost, inside of the breakers. And with those getting dust inside them, they don't open and close as much as it, so they get the amperage against them, they won't trip, like you're asking about. Yeah. But by snapping them on, snapping them off, believe it or not, it shakes the dust off, and you get 10 times the life out of them.
Thank you.
So does that tell you whether it doesn't work, whether it's not working?
Working how, man?
Well, whether that's going to shut off if it is an overload? Just by shutting it off, turning it back on?
No, it won't. It doesn't tell you if it's going to trip when it needs to. Like Jason was saying, some won't. As I was saying, I have brand new breakers out of box that do what Jason's talking about. However, I have one in maybe 100,000. He probably has a little bit of, I guess he probably has one in 8.
So we have other buildings as well.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, I understand. Same thing with GFI breakers. The GFI outlets. You see all the GFI outlets around kitchen sinks and everything? They're supposed to be tested monthly, actually.
So, talking about the breakers that you're going to put in.
Yeah.
Will that be GFI wired, or?
Anything that would be in required by 2020 code, the National Electric Code recycles every 3 years. 2020 happens to be the year that it should be updated. July 1st, actually 2020, for the state of Hampshire to adopt it, so it's in effect now. And any breakers that are required by state code and state code, yes, they will be changed. For instance, you know, when you're staying for a bathroom or something like that.
So, Mike, to answer your question about the periodic maintenance, this type of thing is what we need to put into our facilities for a preventive maintenance plan, so we don't have something like this happen.
Sure. So this gives us the opportunity to plan for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And run the process and then time it and schedule it and report out.
And why is it such a good idea to have a professional, you know, do the preventive maintenance for you, because they know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it.
I understand. Thank you.
So just for the public's knowledge, this building is what, 35 years old now?
89.
This building right here. Oh, this building.
1989.
So 35 years. And half the lights in the parking lot are on now.
Yes, there.
And why is that?
Because of the faulty breakers.
So,
that I will have tomorrow morning.
This is a problem that's just exclusive to the middle school. We should be checking all of our buildings and participating in maintenance programs.
And we will be. We will be looking into the panels at the rest of our facilities and also requesting these upgrades if necessary as well.
Yeah. So while it's inconvenient tonight, the parking lot is dark, it is fortuitous that it happened to let us know that we need to be more vigilant. And, you know, it could just have easily been, an outlet or somebody, or somebody could get hurt or something.
Explain that to the board before. It's not, doesn't roof nowadays has insulation board underneath the roof membrane, which pitches at an angle towards the drains, and that's how you get water out the roof. This roof was, the membrane was just put flat right on the decking of the roof with no pitching or angles or anything like that. So the engineer, the people that are working on the project, are really most concerned about this one because of the weight of the water that's on there. It's just not healthy and could cause some structural damage. Now, the roof is near the end of life. It's about 21 years old, so it's due to be replaced. So it's not, you got your mileage out of that roof, even though it wasn't the right roof. But we need to fix it, make it so it drains, and then we'll be going forward, you know, with a roof that's going to be last at least another 20 years. So we plan to come back as we get more money in the expendable trust fund to look at the rest of the roofs, because they're done in sections. So we can replace them in sections like that. So that's it. Jason's been up there. A bunch of the other questions for him, he can speak to that. You can see the water there. It's not good. It's been highly recommended by the contractor he hired. HVAC contractor hired an architect to look at the roof and make suggestions, and the roof has been designed, so it went out to bid. So it's really the best way to do things, so that we have an expert tell us what the roof should be and what the specifications should be, and then all the roofers have to bid on those specifications, because otherwise we just get a bunch of different roofs, you know, different thicknesses and different areas. So this process was done the right way.
So do you see that as a stopgap here?
Oh, this will be a permanent fix.
When we redo the roof sooner than later, as you said, it's reached its point.
Yeah, this needs to be done immediately,
right?
Prior to closing tonight. There are other sections of the roof that also need to be done, but we don't have the funding for that yet in the expendable trust fund. So, but this is the one that's the highest priority.
So this is the redo of the roof, of that section.
Of that section, this will make it brand new, going forward for at least 20 years. It'll be good. Yeah, that'll be a brand new roof. Yeah, it'll be done the right way, it'll drain, and it'll add, you know, insulation. There's no insulation in there right now, so it's gonna improve that part of the building, make it more weather tight.
Yeah, my concern was just that we don't do something as crisis management with a leaking heavy roof and then rip it all up 2 years from now.
Oh no, this will be a permanent fix. Right. Yeah,
thank you. Robert, what is the balance in the expendable trust fund now?
It's just over 200,000.
Beg your pardon?
Just over 200.
Just over 200.
Over 200,000.
Yeah.
Minus what this will cost.
That's correct.
And the electrical.
Right, both of those together. So you have.
We're going to take them separately.
You can. You mean as far as motion?
Yes.
Jason, quick clarification. I know the architects came and looked at it. Is this a section of the roof that they were. I can't pull up anything right now that they were recommending cross bracing or whatever it was? Ties or something, I can't remember what it was.
So yes, there is a new structural code that was New Hampshire adopted in 2018, which requires structural seismic ties to be done in a building without it. When you make any changes, redoing a roof qualifies under making any changes. So what needed to be done is pretty much well fabricated angle iron to the walls of the structure,
yeah, no. So in terms of the policy, it's more than welcome to ask individual questions, but predominantly the majority of them that are set forward first read have to do with just some timely updates, re-lettering some policies to fit and fit with the New Hampshire School Board Association, who a couple times a year goes ahead, relooks at things that are coming out of the, you know, the state, at the state level, and puts their some words down, sends them out for all of us to kind of review, adopt, take parts of to incorporate into current policies. So really what we're seeing here, a lot of it has to do with the result of a lot of the things that transpired through the springtime, electronic communication, pandemic, and academic emergencies, electronic signatures, digital records, and then just some health stuff that our nurses have seen and looked at and given some feedback on, immunizations and so on. So, as you look forward, look through them, you'll see a lot of either title changes at the top, some exchanging of letters, again, just to kind of coincide and line things up with the New Hampshire School Board Association. But they're all pretty straightforward and things that are highly recommended to adopt if we didn't have them.
Public ask for a figure. Yeah.